From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third from the inside. Then it's Still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's jumped awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Linden Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
It's Lone Seller, Noble Indy, my boy Jack. For the rail, Noble Indy and Lone Seller, Noble Indy to win the Louisiana Derby.
Oh, what a one this is. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle him, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso, Fantastico in the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Well, we had to wait 37 agonizing years for a Triple Crown winner after a firm pulled it off in 1978. Last Saturday at Belmont Park, we didn't even have to wait 37 months to get another one after American Pharoah in 2015. What a time to be a horse racing fan. What a time to be tuned in to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That is Barron and Pontiff. And happy to have you with us on Sirius 219 XM 201 on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country. And everyone tuning in worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. 139 days, 4 hours, and 23 minutes until the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs. And JT, you and I making our way to Churchill later this afternoon. We'll be there tonight to bring people coverage of two Breeders' Cup Winning Your In events on the docket later on this evening. The Stephen Foster for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division and the Fleur de Lis for the Breeders' Cup Distaff Division. And both races looking pretty solid as we sit here on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it's a lovely card at Churchill Downs tonight. Five graded stakes. Looking forward to it. It's a very nice undercard as well. So it should be a lot of fun tonight.
And those two races were an integral part of determining what was going to happen later in the season when we look at what happened last year. You had Forever Unbridled, who went on to win the Breeders' Cup Distaff after winning the Fleur de Lis. And then you had Gunrunner, who scored in the Stephen Foster and then romped in the Breeders' Cup Classic later that year.
Yeah, excuse me, tough act to follow this year. You know, who knows what's going to happen? You can only watch the races and form your opinions, but what a nice way to get a race over Churchill Downs, find out if your horse likes the track, move forward from there. The Breeders' Cup figures to be off the hook this year. A lot of interesting racing, and we have Saratoga ahead of us, which always kind of sets the tone for the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that's kind of the neat part about this sport. We just finished the Triple Crown and Justify pulling off the 13th Triple Crown in the history of the sport, and then all of a sudden we jump right into the road to the Breeders' Cup, and you start turning your attention from the three-year-olds to multiple divisions, including that Classic and Distaff division that we'll see later tonight. But over the course of the next several months, we'll be bringing you exclusive radio coverage of so many of those Breeders' Cup prep races. As a matter of fact, 37 Breeders' Cup Winning Your In events going to be broadcast right here on HRN. You'll hear those leading up to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and then we'll be there in November at Churchill to bring you that exclusive coverage as well, both Friday and Saturday. So our job doesn't stop. We'll take a bit of a breather after tonight and then jump right into the Queen's Plate at Woodbine and then right down that road to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the beauties of our sport is that it's always changing. It's always evolving, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're used to it at HRN, the two seasons, basically, the Derby season, Triple Crown season, and then the Breeders' Cup season. So, you know, it's a smooth transition. We do have that little break in between time, but then, you know, leading up to Breeders' Cup is always fascinating. And I think most people really enjoy watching the horses during the summertime. It just seems like there's more time for racing and better weather,
yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully Saratoga is not rainy like it was a few years ago where it rained like every day. I mean, the way we've had so much rain this year, I'm a little frightened about Saratoga because we've really been on a great run of great weather at Saratoga for about the last 3-4 years.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, and let's keep our fingers crossed that everything goes well with the weather during the Saratoga meet. And it's going to be a very nice evening at Churchill tonight, and thank goodness they're racing in the evening because the temperatures here in Kentucky are going to be pretty warm. They're talking about low 90s potentially, especially over in Louisville. We might see low 90s over there. And by the time that they run the Stephen Foster at right around 9:39 Eastern, things should be cooled down quite a bit. So racing under the lights at Churchill is always fun and should be a great evening.
Yeah, this is a festive atmosphere. People get into it and get dressed up and come out, and there's bands and, you know, hoopla. We're going to have Justify parading after the second race, which is kind of cool. They're going to give the Kentucky Derby trophies, the official engraved ones, to the participants. So that'll be fun, and lots of good stuff on Stephen Foster night. It's always a good time.
Yeah, it should be fun. Our coverage 8 to 10 Eastern time on Sirius XM 93. Of course, on affiliates around the country and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can also head to our website to see a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast schedule. All of our upcoming race broadcasts are listed for you on our website right now, horseracingradio.net. JT, the saying, what goes around comes around, certainly appears to be appropriate for the sport of thoroughbred racing at this point. And it's amazing the way that these things just tend to happen from time to time. I mentioned that 37-year wait that we had from Affirm to American Pharoah, and now here comes Justify, and you get two within 4 years, reminiscent of the 1970s when we had a 25-year gap from Citation in 48 to Secretariat in 73, and all of a sudden we had three in the 1970s. Mind-boggling the way it just works out this way.
Yeah, it just happens. You know, I always like to think about when people wanted to change everything, you know, change the spacing between races and all that stuff. And now we've got two.
I think we should change it now. Now it's too easy. Right? It's far too easy.
Yeah, far too easy.
2 miles. The Belmont needs to be 2 miles.
Well, you know, that there's a 2-year-old race in Brazil where they have the trials on Saturday and the final on Sunday. So yeah, the 2-year-olds run back-to-back days. So maybe we should do that. Maybe we could just jam the whole Triple Crown into 3 days.
Throw a couple fences in there, too. Make them jump over a couple of fences. It's way too easy now. We've already proven that. At least it's easy if your name is Bob Baffert. He's making it look easy right now.
Well, you know, I mean, he's got the knack. And it was interesting when we had Jimmy Barnes on Trainer Talk, you know, Bob's chief assistant. Everybody knows who Jimmy is. And he was talking about the experience and how, you know, you get to a point where everything slows down for you. You're not as hyped up about it as, you know, the first time you go to the Derby and with a horse and everything's new and crazy and you're overwhelmed. But now those guys, it's like ho-hum, you know. It's just another day at the office for them.
Yeah, not that it's not a special thing and not that they're not excited about it, but I drew the parallel during that Trainer Talk show that's a lot like an athlete. And you'll hear NFL quarterbacks talk about this a lot. They come into the league as a rookie, and things are moving so fast in the NFL, and it's completely different from college. Well, once they get into it a little bit, and they're into their sixth and seventh year, and they become a veteran, the game just seems to slow down. Mike Smith talked about that before the Belmont Stakes, that at this point in his career, he can control his emotions. He uses that energy that he has in a positive way, and the whole thing just kind of slows down for him.
Yeah, it's the difference between panic and excitement.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when you're doing it for the first time, you know, you're worried about everything. You want everything to go right, and it consumes you. But by the time you've done it several times, you know, you kind of relax and you go, you know that you know what you're doing, and you don't have to worry about, well, what if this happens or that happens. Everything's already happened.
Yep.
So it's a whole new thing, and I think it's a tremendous edge. I mean, it has to be an edge when you have that experience. We talk about Mike Smith and, you know, the race that Arrowgate ran when in Dubai when he didn't break, and Mike just, it clicked in his head, I'm going to ride him like Zenyatta. You know, and only Mike Smith could do that, and that comes from experience, so.
we are going to spend plenty of time looking back on the Triple Crown from last weekend. We're also going to look ahead to tonight's Stephen Foster program. The first segment of the show after our commercial break coming up here in just a few minutes, you're going to hear from Jimmy Barnes. Jude just talked about the fact that Jimmy joined us this past week on our Trainer Talk show presented by Fasig Tipton. He joined us for a full hour on that program, and the podcast is posted on our website. But you're going to hear an excerpt from that particular show and Jimmy talking about last Saturday and what it was like to be there again at Belmont Park to pull it off for the second time in 4 years. Stay with us. You're going to enjoy that interview. Tom Leach, who was part of our broadcast team throughout the entire Triple Crown, he's going to be in studio with us. He'll be with us tonight. It'll be Jude, myself, and Tom Leach at Churchill Downs for our coverage of the Stephen Foster. But Tom will spend some time looking back on last weekend, looking ahead to tonight's festivities at Churchill. You're going to hear from trainer Graham Motion at 9 o'clock Eastern. Graham sending out Irish War Cry in tonight's Stephen Foster. He comes off of that big win at Pimlico and now looking to put back-to-back stakes wins together, and nobody better than Graham Motion to make that happen. Dora Delgado from the Breeders' Cup will be with us at 9:20 Eastern time, and then Darren Rogers from Churchill right around 9:40 Eastern. So an awful lot of things to get to. It's going to be a very busy program. Jude, before we get to our first break here, we're about 2 minutes away. Some other news that came out this week, which I think we need to touch on here for a second. Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey officially launching sports betting in the state, and he did it by placing a $20 wager on Germany to capture the World Cup and a $20 future bet on the New Jersey Devils to win the 2019 Stanley Cup. When we look at sports betting, there have been people who said, oh my God, it's competition for horse racing. There are other people who have said, no, it's a good thing for horse racing. Where do you fall?
Oh, I'm on the good thing for horse racing. When I lived in New Jersey, William Hill spent over $1 million to develop the sports betting book there, and it's beautiful. And they did what they could to train people about sports bets and with games and things. And I'm very happy for them. They've put a lot of money into racing. They sponsor the Haskell every year, and that's not inexpensive. So I don't understand why they can't coexist. Evidently, there were a ton of people that went to Monmouth Park just to play some sports bets. And once you go to Monmouth Park, you're going to like it. It's a really fun place to be and to race, and I think it's a great thing. So I'm very happy for Dennis Drazen and everybody at Monmouth Park who's put a lot of time and effort into this, and certainly William Hill for their tremendous investment in our sport, and it's nice for them to be able to see their dream come to fruition, and I think it's going to help everybody.
Yeah, see, I fall on the same side as you on this issue. I've said all along that this would be a positive for horse racing if horse racing embraces it and doesn't try to look at this as being competition, because it's going to get people out in the public wagering, right? And if you picture it, it's like a sports book in Las Vegas, right? You have the sports book, you have the races right there. Somebody is sitting there betting on games. Well, all of a sudden you've got a horse race up there too. And, you know, gamblers are gamblers. They like to place a bet. So what's stopping that person from walking over and placing a bet on horse racing too? When in the past, they would have never even been exposed to the sport because they would have been strictly just sitting in their living room watching games and betting games somehow.
And, you know, the other thing is we're keeping that money in the United States. A lot of people have been gambling online,
offshore
for many, many years. That money goes away, you know, and there's always issues with that, getting your payoffs and stuff. So it's very nice to allow those people a venue, a way to wager you know, expose them to horse racing at the same time.
By the way, in case you're wondering, Governor Murphy was able to get Germany at odds of 7-2 to win the World Cup, and he's going to cash a nice ticket if the New Jersey Devils can win the Stanley Cup next year. 40-1, odds on the New Jersey Devils.
He kind of had to make that bet, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder if my son Miles knows. He's a Devils fan.
They would have run him out of town if he bet the New York Rangers, right?
Yeah. And no love for the Jets, evidently.
No, I guess not. Well, they're the New York Jets, right? Yeah. I know they play in the Meadowlands, but they're technically the New York Jets. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to our first break. We'll come back. We're going to look back on the Triple Crown last week. You're going to hear from Bob Baffert, assistant trainer, Jimmy Barnes. It's a fun interview. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Tom's Ready, a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a three-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Gentlemen, I'm standing alongside assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy, you just won a triple crown.
Our second triple crown, and it's, you know, very emotional. It's, you know, to pull something like that off is, it's amazing. You know, two times, I mean, what a horse.
Jimmy, this...
his ass off.
Jimmy, this horse, he went on the lead. He was setting crazy fast fractions, and he was drawing away from the rest of the field. Was there ever a time when you thought this horse couldn't really hold him off?
You know, he looked like to be running really easy the whole way. You know, once he got him away from there, it might have been a little quick. But, you know, he was just a super horse this year, and he's done amazing things. So we're just thrilled to death.
Jimmy, enjoy the victory. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, that's the way it sounded immediately after Justify crossed the finish line last Saturday at Belmont Park. That was Jimmy Barnes with Jeff Bloom on our coverage of the race on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Westwood One, and NBC Sports Radio. And you could hear the emotion in his voice, and rightfully so. You mentioned, Jude, in the first segment of the program that the game kind of slows down, that it almost becomes ho-hum. We're in this position again. I mean, let's face it, that was the sixth time that Bob Baffert and Jimmy Barnes, well, not Jimmy because he joined Bob's team after Real Quiet, But at least for Bob, the sixth time that he's been in that position to win the Triple Crown, he's done it twice now. But you could hear the emotion. This means so much to everybody that's involved.
Yeah, just because you know, the day-to-day is ho-hum doesn't mean it's not exciting to
right.
win.
Right.
And yeah, and even Jimmy said, well, you know, it was a little different than American Pharoah because of the long wait and all that. But you can see in the moment, he was pretty excited and awed by the horse, and that's always great to see.
I got so tied up in our conversation in the first half of the show, the first segment of the show, that I forgot to throw out the poll question. We were talking about legalized sports betting in the state of New Jersey. You're going to see it in several states across the country before too long. And the poll question is quite simple. We want to hear your thoughts on this. Will legalized sports betting be beneficial to the racing industry? That's what we want to hear from you. Will legalized sports betting be beneficial to the horse racing industry? And quite simply, yes or no. And if you want to weigh in with a comment, we'll try to pass those along as we move throughout the program as well. Well, Jimmy Barnes took the time to join us earlier this week. He did it on Trainer Talk, and again, the podcast on our website at horseracingradio.net. But Jimmy took the time to join us, and he talked about so many different things in that hour-long visit. But I started quite simply by saying, Jimmy, congratulations.
Well, thank you. It was a wonderful ride. It was a brief, quick ride, I tell you. For the amount of days that what this horse has accomplished with six starts, it was just truly amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when Bob debuted him, he said he had a plan to win the Kentucky Derby, and everybody just kind of chuckled, yeah, like, oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we brought this horse over from our second string of Los Alamitos, you know, he came over, you know, we knew he was something special. How good, you know, you really don't know. Until we worked him his first 5/8, and wow, this is pretty nice, you know. But you really don't know until you go to the gate and you work out of the gate. And at that particular time, we had McKenzie, who, you know, had done nothing wrong. Has looked like he was been first or second or third choice for the Derby at the time. And and we had this horse sitting in the wings there, and you know, we had talked jokingly about it. You know, if we can even make the Kentucky Derby. But lo and behold, it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out tremendously well. As we know, the story ended with a Triple Crown, the 13th Triple Crown in our sports history. Jimmy, put into perspective what these 11 weeks or so have been like. I mean, he debuts, what, February 18th, and then rattles off six consecutive wins, including the Triple Crown. Put that into perspective. You've been around a lot of good horses. How significant, how exceptional is that accomplishment?
Well, you know, it is, you know, considering he had his first start he had to make with 7/8, which is, it's always a tough start for a horse first time to go 7/8, which he handled that with ease. And, you know, the next start was the important start, was trying to get two turns in him as soon as possible. And, you know, Santa Anita did a good job helping us get a race to develop, to get him in a one set of first condition race. And, then he won that race. Once we got that race into him, got the two turns, we were well on our way. And, you know, the plan was he was originally supposed to go through Arkansas, but McKenzie had gotten hurt in the race with Bolte Oro. So once he was sidelined, we just decided to leave Justified at home and run in the Santa Anita Derby, and which he ended up, you know, winning that race. And then we were well on our way. We knew we had him just exactly where you want him. But still only lightly raced, you know, stepping into the Kentucky Derby. That's a big feat, you know, with only three starts under your belt, and you're going to go a mile and a quarter in a 20-horse field. And, you know, the biggest day in probably any horse's career would be on a Kentucky Derby day to face the amount of people and what he's going to have to go through just to compete in that race, dealing with the crowd, the rain that came, the 20 horse field. You know, you just can't get behind at any point. He did everything so well. He went through the paddock good. He went through the post parade, went to the gate. He just, you know, Mike said, we told Mike, just stay clean, and which he did. And that was amazing. And then to have to step up and go to Baltimore and more rain came, which was, you know, it rained like a record amount of rain in a week's time up there. And then the rain stopped, but then the fog came. So watching that race was like, you couldn't see a thing. All I could see, I saw him come by the first time, but that was it. And then you're just watching fractions, and until they came out of the fog and was in front. And there were some horses closing late, but I'm not sure Mike even saw them, and he just kind of took it easy with them the last 16th of a mile. So, but that was truly amazing. And then I was having reporters ask me, well, you know, suppose it doesn't rain, you know, and you're on a dry track. And I said, well, wait till you see this horse on a dry track. I think he's even better on a dry track. Which, the weather in New York was beautiful. And, he shipped in there. We went up in there on Wednesday, and he went the first day to the track. It's like he was there for a year of training. He never looked at a thing and just went out, and we did our thing in the morning, and he handled it with ease. He's got such a good mind on him, which really, really helps us as far as getting these races. Are big races, and you're dealing with a lot of press, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, just, it's over the top is what it is. And, to have a horse with such a good mind that can handle all that and not have a problem at the gate and not have to worry about him, you know, having a tough time saddling him or anything, he made it so easy for us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could ask you a gazillion questions about this horse and the trail, but you brought up the point of his mind. And, you know, American Pharoah maybe had the best mind of any horse. I don't know, but this horse is a lot in the same ilk. I mean, he just doesn't seem like anything bothers him. He never gets flustered. I mean, you never see him even like swish his tail in distaste for anything. I mean, he's just so cool.
Absolutely. He's a little more pushy in the morning in the stall than American Pharoah was very kind in the stall. This horse, he lets you know that that's his spot, and, you know, if you're in there, he may push you on out, but where American Pharoah was a little on the kinder side. But, the thing that this is fairly, I've been asked so many times, well, how can you compare the two? I mean, they both have a huge set of lungs on them, a huge stride. And another thing, a big walk. When you walk them, you know you're really walking a, you know, horse. He's just like, you got to struggle to keep up with him when he walks just in the morning. They just have this big gait to him, and they just move right on out. And that was the same, similar to American Pharoah. Arrowgate had the same kind of walk. It was just a big, big walk on him. It was just amazing.
Talking with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jimmy, before the Belmont, I stopped by the barn and did an interview with Bob, and he told the story of Bill Belichick being around the horse, the New England Patriots head coach. And he asked Bill if he was a football player, what type of football player would he be? Would he be a fullback because he's kind of a big bruising type of horse, or what would it be? And Belichick told him, no, he said he'd definitely be defense. This is a horse that wants to play defense. He's got that attitude about him. Bob's compared him to LeBron James as well. How about you? Is there a human athlete that he reminds you of?
I would have to agree with Bob, like a LeBron James type, take control early and try to dominate the game.
Well, he did it. He took control at the start of the Belmont Stakes. He dominated that race much the same way he dominated all the other races as well. When I called you yesterday to ask you to join us on the program, Jimmy, you said you were obviously still on cloud nine, but it's a little different than the aftermath of American Pharoah. How so?
Well, I mean, just, you know, it's still very exciting and everything. It was just, it hadn't been done in so long with American Pharoah. It was just maybe a little more electrifying at the moment. To have it come back again, you know, 3 years later, two years later, it was, it was still exciting and everything, but for some reason it just felt a little different, with American Pharoah, just because people, you know, it was talked that it couldn't be done. There were, you know, people, they were going to change the time between races. They were going to, there was all kinds of things they were talking about. But, we just proved that it can be done. And it takes a great horse to do it.
That's Jimmy Barnes, assistant trainer to Bob Baffert. Looking back on last week's Triple Crown victory by Justify, you can hear the full one-hour interview with Jimmy as part of our trainer talk show on our website, horseracingradio.net. So we encourage you to head back there and do that. Take a listen when you get some time, because he was tremendous in talking about different things and even different horses that he's been around over the course of his time with Bob Baffert. Judy said it takes a great horse to do it. And this is kind of a debate that we hear quite often when it comes to talking about Triple Crown horses. Is the horse a great horse just because he wins the Triple Crown? What do you think?
Well, I think you have to say yes. Only 13 horses have done it. You know, it's a tremendous accomplishment. We all know what it's like to be going for a Triple Crown and have the horse, you know, go down in flames, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, some photo finishes are close. Other races, the horse is not even competitive. So it's one of those situations where this is what everybody shoots for, so to speak, in our sport. So I think the accomplishment of winning the Triple Crown automatically makes you great. I think I'm echoing the sentiments of
Tom Hammond.
Tom Hammond.
Yeah, he said the same thing when he sat down with Tom Leach before the Belmont.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just, it's one of those things that, you know, it'd be like a baseball player winning the Triple Crown, you know, stats-wise. I mean, you, in order to do that, you have to be the very best at every category, right?
So, well, and think about what Justify accomplished, right? He did something that no other horse, no other Triple Crown winner has ever done, right? He debuted on February 18th of his three-year-old season. He shatters the curse of Apollo, which hadn't been done since 1882, right? Winning without a start as a two-year-old in the Kentucky Derby. Slices through the fog at Pimlico over a racetrack that was just nasty. And he holds off at everybody, and he wins that race. And then he comes back and wins the Belmont at a mile and a half. I mean, what he has done in such a short period of time, and doing this undefeated, by the way, is unprecedented. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a horse you could compare him to that's done that. I've compared him a couple times to Wavering Monarch, who had a similar kind of campaign, but he wasn't undefeated.
Right.
He you know, didn't, I think he ran fourth in the Kentucky Derby, but he had that late start because he was a big horse. He had the late start, and Rusty Arnold got him, you know, going, and then after the Derby, he took a month off and won the next three most important stakes in a row. So, I mean, those horses, they don't come along every day, and he's obviously very special.
All right, Tom Leach is going to be in studio with us coming up after our Lexus Legends of the Turf. He will look back on last weekend's Belmont and look ahead to tonight's Stephen Foster program, as he will be part of our broadcast team later this evening. 8 to 10 Eastern is when you can join us here on the network live from Churchill Downs for all that Breeders' Cup win in your in coverage. All right, it is your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the folks at the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty here in Lexington, Kentucky. We're back with Tom Leach right after this.
There have been match races and there have been match races in thoroughbred racing. Some have fizzled, some have turned into classic confrontations of the equine sport. On October 20th, 1923, there was one that by anybody's measure or means falls into the latter category. At that date in the Roaring Twenties at Belmont Park, 50,000 patrons were amassed neath a brilliant yellow sun on a mild autumn day, with Mother Nature having reached down with tender tendrils to paint the surrounding countryside in the brilliant hues of the season to see a horse race. Oh, there had been large crowds at Belmont in the past, but never of the size of the assemblage gathered on that day. This one came filled with patriotism and the sporting instinct. It was an event amongst events. The enormous crowd was overflowed from the clubhouse into the grandstand and on out across the lawn, and provided the exclamation point to one of the greatest spectacles in all the annals of sport. The purse was $100,000, the racing surface muddy, and the combatants were the great Zeb, Harry F. Sinclair's American Standard Bearer, to be piloted by the redoubtable Earl Sandy, and the superb British representative Papyrus, with Steve Donahue handling the lines. Zeb went postered at 4-5, Papyrus even money. Papyrus had several excellent workouts since arriving in America. Zeb had not been at his best of late, having incurred a skin ailment, but on this day, in this race, they both performed like the champions that they were. From a standing start, Papyrus got away very quickly, jumping on out to a length and a half lead before the two had gone a single furlong. Zeb, slow to settle into stride, made up the ground quickly and dropped down along the rail under Sandy. By the time they had gone a quarter, Zeb had gained the lead and was full of run. Sandy took a strong hold and was rating his mount nicely. At the half-mile marker, it was Zeb by a length, and on down the backside they went in the 10-furlong race with Donahue on Papyrus, asking his stalwart for just a bit more, while Sandy, in turn, let out a notch on Zeb, holding on to a one-length lead as the two thundered into the far turn. They continued to hold their positions in what had become a cat-and-mouse game between riders and horses on around the turn, with Donahue and Papyrus unable to close any ground. It looked at that point as if the courageous British champion was indeed a beaten horse. As they swung off the turn to the head of the stretch, Zeb increased his margin under the astute handling of Sandy. Bending low, Sandy appeared to cluck and whisper something into Zeb's ear, and he began to widen his margin as a huge roar swelled up from the vast multitude in attendance. Zeb literally ate up huge chunks of ground with giant strides. Papyrus fell further behind. They had only a furlong to the wire, and it was Zeb by four open lengths. As they galloped to the finish with Zeb in full command, sending sprays of mud up before the noisy crowd, Sandy guided the conquering hero home magnificently with every leap, ultimately winning by eight open lengths. It was a stirring performance by Zeb, and the single most crushing defeat ever suffered by the British great Papyrus. The rancocas colt of Harry Sinclair had not run a particularly fast race, but under the handy guy named Sandy, he had proved himself to be an international champion and had upheld the honor and prestige of American racing. Zeb versus Papyrus, Belmont Park, October 20th, 1923. A great moment in racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Freak yeah, welcome to Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah. Whoa, she's going to slice down on that lettuce.
Freak yeah, she's a fresh lettuce freak. Slices it fresh every day at exactly 3/32 of an inch.
Freak yeah. Wait, now she's carving meats?
Freak yeah, she's also a meat freak. Slices are all natural meats by hand daily.
Freak yeah. Freak, you gotta be kidding me.
Freak yeah, also a bread freak. Bakes bread fresh in store every 4 hours.
Freak, wow.
Here's the best part. We're all lettuce, meat, and bread freaks here. Because that means better sandwiches for all.
Double freak wow. You guys are freaking my freak.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah!
Adina Springs Stallion, point of entry.
Point of entry scores to win the Man of War four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry. Who's running to daylight?
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner, Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running, with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
If it happens in horse racing, it happens on HRRN.
He's just perfect, and now he's just immortal! Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
There he is, the first undefeated Triple Crown winner since Seattle Slew in 1977, and he does it with style here at Belmont Park this afternoon.
Racing's biggest events are right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Yeah, the magnitude of the accomplishment automatically makes you great, in my book. To win the Triple Crown when only 12 have done it, to be the 13th would be, amazing. Only 12 men have walked on the moon, so I used to say, how hard is it? Well, before American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, there had been more men on the moon that had won the Triple Crown. So the magnitude of the achievement makes him great.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was longtime NBC broadcaster Tom Hammond talking about Justify. Prior to him winning the Belmont Stakes last Saturday, he sat down with our Tom Leach for an interview, and that was part of that interview. And Jude, we were just talking about that Tom Hammond quote in the last segment, and I have to agree. I think that the magnitude of the accomplishment, as Tom said, makes this horse great, and maybe even more so in Justify's situation.
Yeah, well, I had no idea you had that queued up.
I had forgotten I did too, so don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad. That was a great interview, Tom. That was outstanding. I really enjoyed that. And
I did too.
Yeah.
And the thing, little known fact, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Exacta actually paid a little more than the Triple Crown exactas have over the years because it had never been done at that point.
Think about that. Well, to be there last week, and now I was there for American Pharoah in 15. Tom, you weren't, but this was your first Triple Crown.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you were trackside, the roar of the crowd. What was it like?
Yeah, it was kind of like a bucket list thing for being in sports media to be able to see a Triple Crown winner. And yeah, so it was just a tremendous thrill. I slipped one of the headphones off my ear as they were coming to the top of the stretch just to hear the roar, what it was like to fully experience it. It was just a really cool moment. And where we were standing down trackside, it was interesting to watch the start of the race. And, you know, how much of this gives credit to Mike Smith and how much to the horse, but Mike hustled that horse out of the gate like he was going 6 furlongs. And so the first quarter's 23 and something. Jude can speak to this as a trainer. How difficult is it to get horses to back it off once you've put the gas pedal down?
Well, for most horses, it's tough. I mean, you give the horse the cue to run, and they're going to want to run. Justify, you know, him being a special horse, I think Mike has said he has a lot of different gears. So all along, it seemed like the idea was to get a good break. I mean,
yes,
we interviewed Mike countless times, and that was always uppermost in his mind. And we talked to Jimmy Barnes about it, and he said that the horse always breaks good, you know, which you don't want to say that right before the race because we all know what happens. It's like when they say the pitcher hasn't given up a home run in his last 85 starts, and the first thing that happens is the hitter belts one out. But for a big horse, that's always a concern because big horses, it takes a lot to get that body in motion, as you and I well know.
Yes. And then so once it's in motion, it tends to stay in motion.
It stays in motion. So yes, that's right. Don't try to stop it because you're going to get run over. But it's hard for those horses a lot of times to get going. But he's very athletic. He gets out of there quickly. And Mike obviously knows him very well, so he knew what he was doing. But he wanted to get that position. And when you have the best horse in the race, it's great to be on the lead. And you know, once that happened, you know, there's been controversy about what happened in the first turn and stuff, but the race to me was over by the time they hit the wire the first time, because he had an absolutely clear lead. Now you're going to have to try to outrun him, and that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. And I remember from a handicapping standpoint, I was thinking after the Derby, that was such a hard race. He had to run so fast early that by the Belmont, I thought that'll be when it'll catch up to him. And that would be when I would maybe play against Justify just from a handicapping perspective. And so I did that unsuccessfully. But I was telling family and friends as we got closer to the race, I was feeling less and less confident in that theory as I watched the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast. He really is. And you touched on it during the broadcast. We talked about it at the Preakness. Wayne Lucas described Justify as King Kong when he saw him before the Preakness Stakes. And I think that's accurate. This is a big, strong racehorse.
I saw a good quote from Todd Pletcher at some point that had been attributed to Todd. Said something to the effect of, this horse has muscles where horses, I've never seen horses have muscles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well said.
And John Calipari took his Kentucky basketball team over to meet him this week at Churchill Downs, and they had an interview session with some of the players on Thursday, and I was talking to one of the players, and I said, what do you think about meeting Justify? He said, that horse was ripped.
It's another good way to put it. You, as the voice of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, Tom, you have had the privilege of being part of so many big time college basketball games, college football games. Let's talk about like a college basketball national championship, the excitement level of something like that compared to what you experienced last Saturday. Any comparison there? Any parallels?
Yeah, just both moments. You know, if you're a fan or working in the media, you want to be part of that at least once. So from that standpoint, they're similar. One similarity, you guys were talking about the LeBron James aspect and talking with Jimmy Barnes earlier. When we were discussing after the Preakness in our wrap-up, we talked about Justify and American Pharoah, and at that point, Justify was going to try to do what Pharoah had already done, and we talked about him in terms of Pharoah being maybe comparable to a Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Baffert had talked about Justify as LeBron, and I saw Baffert made that same comparison somewhere in the last week. Different kind of a build of a horse. I saw somebody described American Pharoah as maybe more of a European build, sleeker maybe, where Justify's a big brute. The other one that worked for me in basketball, I was thinking about this, and I'll see what you guys, your take is, because Justify didn't have that moment where he blew away the field by 10 or more lengths, and he didn't break any track records. But when you do something that only 12 other horses have done, you get to be great,
yep.
Certainly. But I went back and looked. To me, one of the another analogy that I've thought about with this horse is Anthony Davis here in Kentucky. As a freshman, he won every award they give. Player of the year, defensive player of the year, led his team to a national championship. He played 40 games. They won 38. He scored 20 or more points 6 times. Now, as a senior, I suspect he would have scored, probably might have averaged 20 points.
Sure.
So Justify in winning the Triple Crown in his 6th start was kind of like a freshman, if you put it in athlete terms, where in the 70s and before, those horses were more like probably – you know, if you think the 4-year-olds and up are seniors, then those horses were maybe juniors. They had a lot more starts under their belt.
Yeah.
So if Justify had been in the Belmont Stakes, maybe or Preakness something, he would have done something maybe a little more special from a time perspective or a margin perspective. Maybe if he had been in his 12th start or his 15th start rather than his 6th or 5th. So we won't get to see him as a senior, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, but he is kind of like a Calipari player, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he
yeah.
comes in, he does his thing, he makes a name for himself, and then he's out the door.
Yeah.
I mean, they say he's going to race the rest of the year, and that would be nice. It remains to be seen. But, it's a very small window. And
to accomplish a lot.
John always takes advantage of that small window and makes the best player he can out of those players. Yeah. And that's kind of what Bob did.
But knowing you're not going to see the best of them in the time that you have them because they're so inexperienced.
Do you think we'll see him in the Travers?
I personally think that he's going to be retired, but I'm going to get a lot of boos for that comment, but I think he's worth too much money. It would be nice. It would be nice if, and especially if he continues on to run at a top level. If he can win out to the Travers, that would be great.
Dale Romans will be waiting. Did you see Dale's quote before the Belmont? He said, well, even if he wins the Triple Crown, there's always the Travers.
Yeah, well,
it would be
so
much
upset American Pharoah with keen ice.
We got to get Dale to tone it down with the press. I mean, I love Dale, but
I love it.
Yeah,
it would be so much fun to see that horse back at Churchill to finish his career in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, that was, and
that may play into it, the fact that the Breeders' Cup is here this year.
I think that's a good point.
I think it could play into it.
Probably the best chance of motivating them to keep him there would be that, maybe.
Yeah. And we'll see him tonight. He'll be there paraded. Jude, you touched on it. Early in the evening, we'll have Tom, you're going to be trackside. We'll have Tom's comments as part of our broadcast beginning 8 o'clock tonight on the network, Sirius XM 93, and of course, horseracingradio.net and affiliates in Louisville and across the country. Tom, it's going to be great to see him tonight, but it's also going to be great to see the win-in-your-in races taking place. The Fleur-de-Lis, the Stephen Foster, the Fleur-de-Lis, a win-in-your-in for the Distaff, the Foster, a win-in-your-in for the Classic. Two really nice races tonight.
Little bit of a Breeders' Cup preview, not all the races, but these are horses certainly that win these races, not just from the win-in-your-in aspect, but just that you'd expect to come back with good shots. The horse that's favored in the Stephen Foster, Backyard Heaven, couldn't have been more impressive. That went on Oaks Day.
Yep.
And, you know, whether it was visually or from a numbers perspective. So it'll be exciting to see what he does now in coming back. And he put two together. You got World Approval, who was a Breeders' Cup winner. Can he get, you know, has he lost a step, or was it just some set of circumstances that got him beat out in California and he bounces back to his old self tonight? So you got that angle. You got Axeman. That'll be right before we come on the air. But Baffert's other horse,
four-stringer.
Yeah, not only other three-year-old, but, it's a horse that'll win big races, one would think. And he actually, I think, got a higher speed figure, albeit at a different distance, in the Preakness Day. So
yeah, there was talk about running him in the Belmont after that win on Preakness Day.
It's going to be exciting to see some of those horses tonight. From a wagering standpoint, some fun races to play. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, should be a great evening under the lights at Churchill Downs. And again, it's going to be warm, so it's nice that they're running these races in the evening, because temperatures are supposed to be in the low 90s here in Kentucky later today. And of course, that will leave us with a fast main track and a firm turf course, which is going to be outstanding. We'll have these races contested on a fair surface, so to speak.
One last thought. Remember when you and I were talking to Baffert at the barn last week, Friday, I think it was, where he talked about when Justify was led off the van and into the barn, the other horses stuck their head out of the stalls and were whinnying,
right,
and they were kind of wanting to see this horse. And he didn't say that Justify was trash talking, but it almost felt like he was about to go there.
Yeah.
And so now, will Justify, those Stephen Foster horses or potential Breeders' Cup Classic horses, is he going to talk a little bit tonight?
Start talking a little smack, maybe?
Right.
See you in November. Yeah. Well, it should be great. Again, our coverage, 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93, of course, ESPN 680 in the Louisville market, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Tom, can't wait for tonight. Going to be a lot of fun, and look forward to having you as part of the team later on.
It will be a fun evening. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks for coming in. That's Tom Leach. You can catch him on his Leach Report program, which airs from 9 to 10 every single weekday. Make sure you check that out. The Leach Report, you can go to TomLeachKY.com for more information on Tom's show and all that great UK talk, and of course some horse racing talk mixed in as well. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and get you set for a busy second half of the program that kicks off with Grand Motion. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Monomoy Girl, the Kentucky Oaks winner, has taken charge here, and she's pulling away in the Acorn.
Performance.
And on the inside, Monomoy Girl, it's down to these two, and it's going to be Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
As a partner in a thoroughbred, the horse is yours every day, not just race day. Bergen Stables understands. When you join their New York bred partnerships, you not only get the thrill of competition, but you get quality time with your horse and a meaningful voice in decision-making. To get involved, visit BergenStables.com. Any partnership can put you close to the action. Bergen Stables brings you close to the horse.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Rated I Superstar is well back and wide into the stretch. Irish War Cry, Jose Ortiz going to the whip, a four-length lead, one-liner chasing. Untrapped is from third to the outside, and Discreet Lover is moved to fourth. Irish War Cry with a 16th left to go. Irish War Cry poured on the speed today in the Pimlico Special. Irish War Cry to win by five, photo second, one-liner, then Untrapped. And then Discreet Lover, followed by Rated R Superstar. Closer next there with Hedge Fund and a Fleet Willie, and last across with Something Awesome.
Dave Rodman with the call of that Pimlico Special, Irish War Cry. Looking for back-to-back stakes wins later tonight. He was impressive in Baltimore, and we'll see if he can pull it off in the Stephen Foster. He is one of the favorites in that race. He'll have to contend with Backyard Heaven from the barn of trainer Chad Brown, but Irish War Cry has a pretty good one in his corner, too, in trainer Graham Motion, who is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time in just about 4 minutes from right now. He'll kick off Hour 2, which also features Dora Delgado from the Breeders' Cup, talking about the Win in Your In races tonight and that Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, and Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs. That's all ahead in Hour number 2. Don't forget that 2018 marks another highly anticipated season for Woodbine. The highlight of the meet is the 159th running of the Queen's Plate, which is the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, slated for June 30th, and that will be followed by the Rico Woodbine Mile on September 15th and the Patterson Canadian International October 13th. Woodbine making a lot of noise north of the border, too, because they have quality racing, they have a stakes-laden schedule, an arsenal of wagers, and bigger and better guaranteed pools, and so much more. All you have to do is visit at Woodbine TB on Twitter and Woodbine.com to learn more about Woodbine Racing. And of course, JT, looking forward to getting up there for the Queen's Plate again this year. You won't be able to make that trip, and I know you're kind of disappointed about it because that's one of your favorite trips of the entire year.
No question about it. I mean, it's always great to go to Woodbine, and they treat us so nicely up there, and it's a great event. It's always fantastic racing. Not only the Queen's Plate, which is super in its own right, but the undercard races are outstanding, and so yes, I will be sad not to be there, but I know you guys will have a great time.
And the pageantry of international racing. When you see the parade that takes place prior to the race and the Royal Mounted Police that come over, right? That to me is worth being there. The race is great, right? You want to be there for the race, but all of the stuff that happens before the race, same thing that we see in Barbados with the parade that takes place on the turf course right before the Barbados Gold Cup every year. It's a spectacle, and it's a celebration of the sport and of the horse.
Right. More parades, I say.
More parades. We want a parade at Churchill tonight for the Stephen Foster. Let's see if we can make that happen. Darren Rogers is going to be with us later in the show. We'll see if he can put together a quick parade.
A little parade, yeah. That's what we need, isn't it? Yeah, when you race internationally, you see things that you don't see in the United States. That's what one of the things that makes it so much fun to travel, and they do celebrate these races as huge events in other countries. In the United States, we're a little bit more staid. Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
Usually we're considered the wild bunch, but it's great to see that and to see how much people enjoy the sport in other countries, and they're not as worried about the results and stuff. It's all about the actual event, and it's a lot of fun. And Queen's Plate, it's a must do. Plus, if you've never been to Woodbine, I mean, it's just an outstanding facility.
Yep.
And it's getting better all the time. They're going to have the new turf course next year. The old turf course is magnificent. It's outside the main track, which is something you rarely see. And it's really the way to do it, I think. It gives you plenty of racing lanes, so the horses are always running on fresh grass. Now they're going to have two turf courses, going to be even more outstanding. A great facility as far as training is concerned. There's dirt tracks, there's turf gallops, there's all kinds of things you can do with a horse there. There's spots to turn them out a little bit in the afternoon if you want. So it's a great place if you're a horseman.
And Roger Atfield is there.
Enough
said.
Yep.
Go to Woodbine.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Would you boys like a beer? One of my favorite
greatest
trainers.
Morning interview ever. I love Roger Atfield. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a quick little segue here to the second half of the program. Graham Motion kicks it off next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Good Magic has been defeated, then Machismo. Less than a 16th to go. The leader is still Promises Fulfilled, and Promises Fulfilled will spring the upset to win the Fountain of Youth under Irad Ortiz Jr.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Getting set for some Breeders' Cup Win and You're In action later this evening, just up the road at Churchill Downs in Louisville. Two Breeders' Cup Challenge races set to go. The Stephen Foster, a Win and You're In for the Classic Division, and the Fleur de Lis, which is a Win and You're In for the Breeders' Cup Distaff Division. And you'll hear all that coverage 8 to 10 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93 on affiliates in Louisville and across the country, and of course streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Judah, a huge, huge night tonight at Churchill. You have, five greatest stakes races on the 11-race program, including those two Win and You're Ins. And Tom Leach joined us in the first half of the show to kind of give us a short preview of both of those races. But the Stephen Foster, a race that last year produced the Classic winner Gunrunner, is a deep and a very talented field, the field of nine.
Yeah, you know, it's a race that has a lot of history and a lot of Really nice horses have won it. There's some fan favorites in there tonight. Patch is a horse that has a huge following. He's a one-eyed horse, and Todd Pletcher trains him. He's coming off an allowance win at Belmont Park. He's got a shot in there. Hakawam is a great story. He was claimed for, I believe, $30,000 a few years back. He's 8 years old now. He's made over $1 million, most of that for trainer Wesley Hawley, who also owns part of him. Backyard Heaven is the favorite or second choice, depending on how much the fans embrace Irish Warcry. Backyard Heaven was super impressive, winning the Ali Sheba on Oaks Day. Irish Warcry just won the Pimlico Special in great fashion, and he's a horse that a lot of people follow and love. He's a great-looking horse trained by Graham Motion. Looking at Lee is a horse that was on the Derby Trail. He's coming off of a win at Churchill Downs in his last start. Steve Asmussen trains him, another fan favorite, a big closer. And then Doug O'Neill's bringing Pavel, who's a horse that has some representative races. He's been running against Top Company. And so it's a very competitive event.
Well, and you mentioned the name Irish Warcry, trained by Graham Motion, who is with us now here on HRRN. Graham, appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy morning, so thank you for taking the time.
I was happy to do it until Jude read off all the potential.
I was hoping he was going to mention Irish Warcry at some point.
Now I'm not stressed.
Well, we don't want to cause you any distress. Your horse ran great in the Pimlico Special. You had to be pleased as punch.
I was. I mean, look, to me, as much as anything, it was a relief. It was great to see him kind of show everybody what I know he's capable of. So it was great for him. I was delighted for Hillendale and for Mr. Marceau, obviously. It was, you know, I feel a certain amount of responsibility as a trainer and to get him to perform at his best, and he was able to do it on that day, and that was a big thrill for all of us.
Yeah, he looked tremendous that day. He took the field wire to wire. Talk about the time from May 18th to tonight, Graham. What have these past few weeks been like for Irish Warcry?
You know, he's had a relatively straightforward month since the Pimlico Special. He had a routine breeze at the end of last week, very similar as to what he did leading up to the special. So really it's been pretty uncomplicated. We shipped here on Wednesday night, got in Thursday morning, and he's just had yesterday and this morning he galloped on the track. So really it's been pretty smooth sailing.
He was allowed to bounce right along in the Pimlico Special, and that seems to be the way he likes to run. Is that going to be kind of the same plan tonight?
Well, interestingly, when Jose came to the paddock for the Pimlico Special, we kind of talked about how much speed there was in the race, and we'd probably sit off them. So no one was more surprised than I was when he jumped out and was on the lead, which was great. I mean, that's why he used Jose Ortiz, because he can make those decisions. So I think with that in mind, I'm very much going to leave it up to him tonight. He knows the horse. He's got confidence in the horse. So that's going to be his call. But I think this is a horse that you can do either or. You can be on the lead, and he can handle that well, or he can sit just off the pace. And we're drawn on the outside, so he has the option to see whatever he does.
Graham, he's quietly earned $1.2 million. And I say quietly because when you think of the millionaires in the sport, Irish Warcry isn't necessarily the first name that comes to mind. But this horse is 5-for-12 lifetime. He has a pair of runner-up finishes to boot. He has been consistent for the most part, barring a couple of efforts that were subpar. But for the most part, he's been pretty consistent. You mentioned your belief that you've always had in him. What is it about him that's given you that belief throughout much of his career?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's a spectacular individual. I mean, he is like an oil painting. He's a beautiful horse. And watching him train in the morning, he's spectacular. I mean, he's as impressive in the morning as any horse I've ever had, apart from perhaps Animal Kingdom. So, obviously, for me, the frustration has been not to see him consistently doing that in the afternoon. And I think when you look at his PPs, like you say, he has, you know, his PPs are phenomenal, but when he runs poorly, he runs really poorly. And I've kind of put that down to this condition called the thumps, which is an electrolyte imbalance, which he does struggle with the heat a little bit. And that's going to be a worry tonight. You know, Pimlico Special, we had a really cool day. And I think that really played into his hands. At least tonight, the one thing we have going for us, it's night racing, so it won't be the full-on sun of the day. But it is going to be hot. But we've dramatically decreased his dose of Lasix. He's getting just a minimal dose of Lasix. And I think that was a big part of what helped us in the Pimlico Special.
Is that common in racehorses, Graham?
I think it's a lot more common than we realize.
Well, hopefully by the time this race goes, scheduled post time 9:39, it's cooled off quite a bit. That would be lovely for him. Is it a concern when you ship too that you can't really control what's going on?
Jude, you know me, everything is a concern. I'll find plenty of things to worry about. Look, it's always, Pimlico's great because we just ship out of our barn in the morning of the race. So that's obviously a lot easier. But he's actually handled this trip very well. I thought leading up to the Derby, I forgot how intense Derby week is here. It had been a while since I'd run a horse in the Derby. And when we showed up with Irish War Cry last year, he was one of the kind of now horses. He was one of the favorites. And there was a lot of fuss about him every day, and it's tough on us, it's tough on the horses, and I think that showed on race day.
Do you think the horses can sense that, Graham?
Definitely. He got to be quite difficult when we were here at Derby week. Just little things like when we took him out to graze, he didn't want to come back into the barn, he didn't want to go back in his stall. And that can become a real problem when every time you turn around you've got 20 or 30 people watching. So, yes, I think they're definitely aware of what's going on around them. He's handled this trip very well. We trained him this morning. He's relatively relaxed. We got to ship into Bill Mott's barn, so we kind of kept into a bit of a routine, which I think has helped.
When you're at Churchill Downs, you're talking about what Animal Kingdom was 2011, so you're 7 years removed from that Kentucky Derby victory. When you're at Churchill Downs and you look at the Twin Spires, do you ever just stop and reflect and think about that day and think about what that meant to your career?
Yeah, it's funny. It's not something I think about all the time, but certainly when I'm here, it's more in my mind. And, I just watched Justify going out to train, and it kind of came to me, I've been lucky enough to win that race, and it's quite extraordinary, really. So, yeah, it's something certainly I think about, and you think about it much more when you're here. It's a special place for that reason,
We heard from Jimmy Barnes earlier in the show, Graham, and he talked about this accomplishment and the achievement that Justify has pulled off by winning the Triple Crown and, of course, having not started as a two-year-old and getting started late, so to speak, in his three-year-old campaign. As a fellow trainer, put that accomplishment into perspective. How impressive is it?
Yeah, look, this horse broke the mold, let's face it. And yes, it's incredibly impressive what those guys have done with this horse. And not just this horse, what they've done, I think, is it five derbies now for Baffert? I think I'm right in saying that.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's tough to win one and get back, but to do what he's done, and I watch trainers before I won the Derby. I always watched how trainers dealt with a Triple Crown. I always thought it was fascinating, and it's still something that interests me. And the way he came back and worked Justify here, less than 10 days, maybe just a week after the Preakness. That takes some courage to be able to come back and do that. It's not easy. I'd still be trying to figure out, how to get him back to the track after a week, probably, and just going easy on him, where Baffert's already worked his horse. But that's what makes him so great, that he can do that. And the success he's had is phenomenal. I think we probably don't appreciate it enough, really. We kind of take it for granted a little bit.
He seems to get away with things that other trainers can't. He can work his horses faster, and he can work them back on shorter rest. It's very unique how he trains horses. He changed the face of training in California. It was so noticeable when I was training, because you'd want to work a horse in company with a fellow trainer, and they'd say, "Well, we don't want to go too fast. We want to go 101 or whatever." And then all of a sudden, the same trainer, like 2 years later, after Baffert was starting his hot streak, I want a horse that can work like 59 and change, and it was a total turnaround of how people trained horses when he came on the scene.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, at the end of the day, good horses work fast, and you've got to find the fine line between allowing them to do that without worrying about them hurting themselves. And it's a very fine line, I think, you balance as a trainer with a really good horse.
Graham Motion joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will send out Irish War Cry in tonight's Grade 1 Stephen Foster, a race you'll hear exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, our coverage beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Graham, you're going to follow up Irish War Cry's effort with a starter in the Grade 3 Regret Stakes, which is race 9 on the program. That's Secret Message, a 2-year-old daughter of Hat Trick. Tell me, or 3-year-old daughter, I'm sorry, of Hat Trick. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, so this filly was a private purchase. Brad Wiseboard noticed her over the winter running at Turfway, and her numbers were very good. And when she came to me, I was impressed with her physically. She's a really attractive, good-looking filly. So, look, I think her last race is a little bit tough to read in the Hilltop. As you guys know, it was a bog that day. You couldn't blame anyone for necessarily not running their best race. And she actually ran a very creditable second that day. She came out of the race great. She worked super last weekend. So, you know, I feel very good about running her. It's a very competitive race. It's a great betting race, but I really like to think she's going to be competitive in there. Obviously, that's why we're here. And to have Irad on her is a big plus as well.
Yeah, he's a difference maker, isn't he? He can really help you win.
He's so patient. You know, I think to me that's the difference. And, you know, I mean, as you know, the best grass riders are the patient riders, the ones that can wait till the last minute to push the button. And Irad just has a great knack for that.
Yeah, speaking of which, nice win last week with the great Edgar Prado. You guys are a fantastic team.
Wow, what a Hall of Fame ride that was. I mean, it was that was a big thrill for me. I mean, that was a race that we picked out for spring quality last November when he won at Aqueduct. You know, we gave him the winter off, and that was always my goal, was to get him to Manhattan. I was really disappointed when he got beat in the prep by Chad's Chilean horse. I couldn't see me getting beaten that day. And you know me, that's not usually my style. So I kind of was disappointed, but things worked out. It was a great prep for him, and he sure showed his colors in the Manhattan.
Did you know?
A great ride.
Did you know you had it the whole time, Graham?
You know, it's funny. I jumped up because I was like, "How cool was that?" You know, especially to win the race 2 years in a row. And then when I'm walking down towards the winner's circle, I'm thinking, "Shoot, you know, I think we won it, but it was pretty close." So I started second guessing myself, but no, I felt pretty strongly that we won it. But I've been fooled before at Belmont. Sometimes it's a funny angle.
Yeah, he's trainer Graham Motion, and he's really on a roll. He's looking to continue that role later this evening at Churchill Downs. Graham, really appreciate the visit, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and all the best tonight. Look forward to getting a chance to see you when we get over there, and hopefully see you in the winner's circle.
Thanks, guys. It's always good talking with you guys.
All right, nobody better. Graham Motion and Irish War Cry looking to punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic with a victory in the Stephen Foster later tonight.
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of happy people if he wins. He's a fan favorite for many people, and good, great looking horse. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. It's going to be a good race.
Yep, 8 to 10 Eastern is when you can hear our coverage. Again, if you're just joining us, that's on Sirius XM 93 on our affiliate ESPN 680 in Louisville and across the country as well. And then, of course, make sure you tune in worldwide on our website. If you can't be in front of a radio, you can listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We'll come back with your Blood Horse News update and Dora Delgado from the Breeders' Cup. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
The road to the Triple Crown has come to an end, but the racing's just beginning to heat up this summer on HRRN. We'll bring you all of racing's biggest events this summer with live coverage from Saratoga, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, Belmont, Arlington, Del Mar, and more. Summer racing on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of events or to listen live.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Top of the stretch in the Stephen Foster, and Florence Rue shakes up Gunrunner, a two-length lead. Now it's a three-length lead. Gunrunner by the eighth pole. Stanford battles on, breaking Lucky Does to with honorable duty and Hawakum down inside, but there's 100 yards left, and Gunrunner with gusto in the Stephen Foster wins for fun. Five in the end. Honorable duty was second, breaking Lucky was third, and Hawakum was fourth.
Hey, did you know you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to the Blood Horse Daily feature stories? Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and so much more. It's free and available via PDF, email, phone app, and now audible via Alexa devices. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily to learn more. Gunrunner romped to victory in the 2017 Stephen Foster. That was Travis Stone with the call. He would use that victory to catapult him to Horse of the Year honors and a huge win in the Breeders' Cup later that season. And the Stephen Foster takes place tonight at Churchill, and you're going to hear it with us 8 to 10 Eastern here on the network. It is part of our Road to the Breeders' Cup broadcast series, all presented by Breeders' Cup, and 37 challenge races coming your way here on the network over the course of the year. And we'll take you all the way through that World Championships at Churchill in November as your exclusive radio home of the Breeders' Cup. And that brings us to our next special guest, who is Dora Delgado with Breeders' Cup. And if you're looking for somebody to tell you how beneficial it can be to win one of these races, she's the girl. So, Dora, welcome. Happy to have you on board.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, going to be a special night under the lights at Churchill tonight.
It's going to be incredible. You know, the Stephen Foster is such a great partnership with our challenge program. The consistency and the class of the horses that run there have been amazing. Three millionaires in the field tonight. So it's a great partnership. It kicks off our North American qualifiers, and we're really pleased to be a part of the Churchill Downs program.
Yeah, it's so important to get that win in your in. I know you hear owners talk about it all the time. My longtime client, Michael House, he won one with Hunt the other day, and he's been bragging about it ever since.
I love that. You know, and this year, you know, we've really kind of moved up our presentation on the whole entire challenge program. There's 82 races around the world, and it's we're on every continent practically and 13 countries. It's a great opportunity to just get a free ride straight to the Breeders' Cup. Once you win a Breeders' Cup win and you're in, your entry fees are paid. For instance, at the Stephen Foster tonight, it's $150,000 in paid entry fees by winning that race. So not only are you running for a half a million dollar purse, but another $150,000 and free fees on top of that. So it's an incredible opportunity for owners and trainers to target these races. And there are enough races in each division that everybody has a shot of running across the country, East, Midwest, and West Coast to get in.
Yeah, this is a series, Dora, that began in January in South Africa. And you mentioned the various countries that are participating in this Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. That international aspect, being the Breeders' Cup World Championships, has to be critical to the success and longevity of the Breeders' Cup, right?
Absolutely. And Del Mar actually saw a record number of internationals compete. It just grows every year. We've got several field representatives out there. Kate Hunter covering the Asian market. We've got Josh Christian in Europe, John Fulton in South America. And really, every partnership we have with racetracks, these racetracks are our own, you know, allies in getting the word out and recruiting for us. So we additionally, for international starters, if they ship into Churchill Downs to run in one of our championship races, they're going to get a $40,000 shipping allowance. We're going to pay a $10,000 shipping allowance for every starter that ships into Kentucky from a domestic location. So it's, we're trying to eliminate any impediments. If you want to come to Breeders' Cup, we're going to make sure that our benefits are competitive and that you're going to be treated to a VIP first class experience with your horse and your guests.
Mike and I were talking before we started the show this morning about Fall Stars weekend. We were really thinking ahead and how important that's going to be. The races in Kentucky leading up to the Breeders' Cup, a lot of people are going to want to ship in here and get the horses used to the weather and the Kentucky way of training. And I think it's one of those things where people are really going to enjoy having the event at Churchill Downs because, let's face the facts, this is horse country.
Exactly. We're really happy to be back at Churchill Downs. It's been a little bit since we've been there, and in Kentucky, having it in our own backyard is just such a welcome treat for the farms and the industry that supports the Breeders' Cup. And we're looking forward to, we've had a lot of interest from internationals that are actually, like you said, targeting Keeneland to do a prep race here. So that's going to be hugely beneficial for our Keeneland partner as well.
Dora, what was it, 2010? Is that the last time we were at Churchill Downs?
2011,
okay. Mm-hmm. Thinking about what the Breeders' Cup means to the state of Kentucky, you just touched on the farms and the breeding operations. You're so close. I mean, this is horse country. You're in the heart of the bluegrass. So bringing it back to Kentucky always seems to be a positive for the Breeders' Cup, both from a handle perspective and attendance perspective, all the way across the board. It's a win-win.
Oh, it definitely is. And Churchill Downs has been at the site of some of our largest attendance records, some of our largest wagering records. They're anxious to get back in the mix and see what they can do to knock it out of the park this year. Del Mar, was a fantastic venue. Keeneland was a fantastic venue. Santa Anita's always a great partner. So Churchill Downs is really stepping up and ready to get in the mix here. And they've made so many improvements since 2011. They've added so many more new dining areas, done a complete renovation of the turf club. The facility is just, outstanding. And the horsemen love the track there, the surfaces. They've got such a great crew. And Jamie Richardson, the turf superintendent, the barn crew, Steve Hargrave as the stable superintendent is just an amazing person. So, everybody from top to bottom is really committed to making this Breeders' Cup World Championships a huge success.
Yeah, you can't beat the track surface and the way that the Churchill Downs crew takes care of it. It's really unsurpassed. They know that surface. They know every grain of sand on the main track. And I'm always amazed at how that track bounces back from weather and how what great care they take of it.
Expertly maintained. And we're really super excited to debut our new concept with the All Juveniles on Friday, our Future Stars Friday. Is a new initiative we're launching this year where we're moving all of our juvenile races to Friday. that moves the distaff and the dirt mile over to Saturday, and it's going to be really interesting, and we hope that it's well received by handicappers.
Yeah, it's going to make for a massive 2 days of racing, as it always is. It's the Breeders' Cup, and it's the Super Bowl of horse racing, our World Series, however you want to look at it, and it's kind of become a must participate from a horseman perspective and from a fan perspective. Dora, when you go out and you talk to horsemen about being part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, and if there are some horsemen listening now, and maybe they're on the fence and they're wondering, well, what's the true benefit? You talked about the entry fees, but what do you make sure that you let them know about the series when you talk to them?
Mostly that there are a lot of opportunities for each division. There are, you know, if you miss this one, there's more down the line. Just let us know what you're targeting. We can help you at the track. We can make sure that you get in the right position to try to win those fees. But not only do you win the free entry fees, you win an automatic qualifier, so you don't have to go through the field selection process. We limit most of our races to 14 starters, and if you're not a challenge winner with an automatic berth or a top point earner, your selection is up to a racing panel of racing handicappers and secretaries from around the world. And, you know, it's a very competitive field, so getting that automatic starting position is a huge benefit. In addition to that, I touched on earlier, you're going to get free travel for the horse, $10,000 shipping allowance for a horse coming into Kentucky. The owner's going to get a $1,500 hotel credit. That goes for every owner, not just challenge winners. Full nominators are going to get a $10,000 nominator award if that horse wins a challenge race. So we're trying to put it back out there. The Breeders' Cup is a not-for-profit company. Our sole purpose is to benefit the breeding industry, the racing industry, market the championships, and bring racing to a worldwide attention. So, you know, that's our focus, is to get the money back out there in the hands of owners and trainers and have them come join us at the most exciting, you know, thoroughbred racing event, I think, in the world. It's just nonstop excitement over 2 days where you just can't even catch your breath, and we're on to another race.
Yeah, yeah. It's truly one of those events that you have to participate in, as I mentioned, from both a horseman and a fan. Dora Delgado from the Breeders' Cup with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, Dora is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. And, of course, you can visit breederscup.com for more information on the challenge series. You can see a complete list of the upcoming races and learn how you can participate, and we highly encourage you to do so. Dora, appreciate the visit and look forward to seeing you over at Churchill Downs later tonight.
Fantastic. I'll see you guys there.
All right.
Dora Delgado here on HRRN. Yeah, the series, the program is outstanding, and you know every year we talk about the program getting bigger and better and adding more races. But the international aspect to me is pretty special too, because if you're getting here from overseas can be pretty expensive, right? So if you can win your way in and get a lot of those expenses covered, why not? It's a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know the Europeans will be coming. In droves because of the cooler weather at Churchill Downs. I think that's something that they're always concerned about. Well, you heard Graham Motion talk about his concern about the weather. And so it's a win-win for everybody to have the championships at Churchill Downs. And what a great 2 days. And I'm excited about the two-year-old situation. I think that's going to be fun on Friday to see all the young horses and see where the future champions are coming from.
Yeah, I like it better than when they attempted to do Ladies' Day on Friday and then all the boys' races on Saturday. I didn't care for that format a whole lot. Uh-huh. I mean, it was okay. I think this is going to be better. I think the two-year-old races, that's fine. Make it a juvenile showcase day and then put the distaff and the classic all in the same program.
Yeah, that's going to be cool, having the distaff and the classic on the same program. Yeah. I do like that idea. The other thing is, I want to remind everybody, Royal Ascot kicks off Tuesday.
That's right.
So that's a good chance to follow up on some of the Europeans as we look forward to the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You'll get to see some of the horses that will be competing at the Breeders' Cup.
And winning your in races at Ascot, too, with the Queen Anne coming up on June 19th on Tuesday. You got the Prince of Wales the next day, the Norfolk Stakes for the juvenile sprinters, and then the juvenile turf sprinters, and then the Diamond Jubilee on June 23rd. So four winning your ins there at Ascot, too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Americans running over there. We're going to see Yoshida in action.
Yep.
Very nice horse for Bill Mott, and Wesley Ward took 10,
yeah.
including Lady Aurelia, and undrafted. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Our poll question today, and you can weigh in at HRN on Twitter, will legalized sports gambling be beneficial to the horse racing industry? And Jude and I talked about it, shared our thoughts in the first half of the program. Yes or no? So far, 70% of HRN Nation saying, yeah, this is going to be beneficial for the sport. And we tend to agree. If you go back and listen to the podcast on our website at HRN on Twitter, and then, of course, horseracingradio.net, you'll hear our discussion. But we tend to agree that we think it's going to be a good thing for the horse industry. And it seems like most of HRN Nation is agreeing with us at this point. All right, it is time now to hear from our friend Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller at Four Roses Bourbon. Our monthly visit with the folks at Four Roses. They're located right here in the heart of horse country in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Since 1888, Four Roses has been made with the same passion and handcrafted as only they can. And this interview, much like the iconic bourbon, handcrafted by Four Roses. And today I have the privilege of visiting with Brent Elliott, who is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. Brent, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for coming out, Mike.
You know, this is a very special year for Four Roses, the 130-year anniversary. And when you go to the Four Roses website, it says a love story 130 years in the making. Is that the way you look at it too?
That is part of our legend. Exactly. The name Four Roses actually is part of the love story. Our founder, Paul Jones Jr., he was smitten by a lovely Southern belle, and he proposed marriage to her apparently multiple times, and he wasn't getting an answer. So finally he said, this is it. This is my ultimate proposal, or my final proposal. And his the lovely belle, she said, okay, well, I will give you an answer at the upcoming ball. If I arrive wearing a corsage of four red roses, that means my answer is yes. And, of course, she did, and the rest is history.
Wow, we're off and running, off and running with Four Roses. I love it. What a great story, and it's such an intimate part of Kentucky. I mean, bourbon in general is, but Four Roses and the name in 130 years, unbelievable.
I know it. It's hard to really realize, especially because we've the history of the brand's been up and down. You know, we were export only for so many years as a bourbon, then. In the early 2000s, as we came back, and just to see the growth in this short period of time, you can look at it just, you know, the short history of, you know, from when I've been looking at it, and you look back, it's got the history as a blended whiskey in the U.S. You go back beyond that, you have Prohibition, where we were actually sold for medicinal purposes. Go back beyond that, the Paul Jones days, all the way back to, you know, its origins actually go back to Atlanta. So the history, it's fascinating. It's probably a little bit too much to get into too much detail here, but it's a fascinating history, and in 130 years we've been through a lot.
So what is it that makes Four Roses Bourbon so unique?
That's a good question. I think and the simple answer is just the taste, the quality. I think we're very proud of what we do here. You know, every Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey has its profile. Every bourbon whiskey that's out there is special in its own right. I feel like ours has its niche. I think it's very, very crisp, very delicate, very, very smooth, easy to drink. And there are ways we achieve that. We always like to talk about, first, our single-story warehouses that we use. You know, if you look at the aging of bourbon, you always hear that Kentucky is ideal for aging bourbon because the temperature variations. We have very hot summers, very cold winters. So from right there, you realize that temperature plays a fundamental role in how bourbon ages. And if you look at what we do, we have single-story warehouses because that gives us a more consistent temperature variation from the bottom to the top of our warehouses. So when we go to pull barrels out, you know, 5, 6, 10 years after they're put in, we don't have to worry too much about the ones at the top being remarkably different from the ones at the bottom, which there are ways around that. Many distilleries do that. You know, they just create different products depending on what section of the warehouse it came from. But for us, we like them to be consistent so that we don't have to worry too much about the differences. And that's really important because of what I'm going to talk about next. That's another part of our uniqueness is we create different bourbon recipes here. And I don't mean labels. Yes, we have different products. We have the Four Roses Bourbon, the Four Roses Small Batch, and the Single Barrel that you can get on the shelf pretty much anywhere. But each one of those is made with different recipes. And the way we do that is by utilizing different mash bills, which is a grain recipe. Now, both of them use corn, obviously, as the primary grain. They have to be bourbon. We use rye as our secondary or flavoring grain. Gives a lot of nice spice, structure, backbone to the bourbon, and then a small portion of malted barley. So we have two different mash bills or ratios of those grains, both high in rye. One extremely high; it's 35% rye in the mash bill, which is higher than just about any bourbon out there. Probably more than any other major distillery is producing. And then we have the lower rye mash bill; it's just 20%. So we start with that foundation. We have or two foundations. That is the mash. And then we ferment each one of those, or either one of those, with one of five different yeast strains. Now, all yeast does the same thing. It creates alcohol. That's why it's used. But there's also a small portion of what we refer to as congeners, these other byproducts of fermentation that are very important to the flavor of the particular spirit that's being made. And for us, each one of these creates different flavors, whether it's fruity, spicy, floral, herbal, whatever it might be. It has each one of these yeast strains creates those flavors on top of the mash bill. So two mash bills, five yeast strains, that's how we arrive at 10 recipes. And then with those recipes, we're able to create uniquely or fundamentally different products. So our Four Roses Bourbon, that uses up to all 10 of those recipes. Small Batch is four of them. And our standard 100 proof single barrel is always the same recipe.
Well, I'd imagine you have to be a master distiller just to keep it all straight.
Yeah, it was a mouthful, wasn't it?
Brent Elliott, he is the master distiller and quality director here at Four Roses. You can learn more by visiting fourrosesbourbon.com. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, when we return, we will be joined by Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs to tell you a little bit more about tonight's Stephen Foster program. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting graded stakes place filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time grade one winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Fans, just two weekends remain at our current spring meet, so don't miss out on all the fun and excitement at Spectacular Santa Anita. Our main event on Saturday is the Grade 2 $200,000 Summertime Oaks, and don't forget, we've got a $500,000 guaranteed late pick four, as well as a wagering menu that offers $2 win, place, and show parlay wagers, 50-cent trifectas, and more. First race post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
A furlong to go, and Lewis Bay is long gone. Lewis Bay and Arad Ortiz Jr. running up the score down to the wire to win the Bed of Roses.
Lewis Bay, the daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini, earned a career-high 98 buyer speed figure while dominating the Grade 3 Bed of Roses by six lengths at Belmont last week. It was the fifth lifetime graded stakes victory for Lewis Bay, making her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini is the sire of 18 graded stakes winners on dirt since 2015. Only Tappet has more.
Grade 1 winners produced by Bernardini include Cavorting, Alpha, Stay Thirsty, To Honor and Serve, and Tecoffel. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment here in the month of June. We are coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, we'll be coming to you live from Churchill Downs for 2 hours of Stephen Foster night coverage, taking you through two win-and-you're-in races, the Stephen Foster and the Florida Lee. And that's critical to punch your ticket to the Breeders' Cup, especially in a prep race at Churchill, because the Breeders' Cup returns to Churchill Downs just 139 days, 2 hours and 40 minutes from right now. And nobody knows that better than Darren Rogers, who is the Senior Director of Communications at Churchill, and he's with us now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Darren, happy Stephen Foster Day.
Yeah, happy Stephen Foster Day to you, and good morning to Jude. And we've got a tremendous night of racing ahead with 11 races, prize money, more than $1.4 million up for grabs, and some really, really competitive racing, starting with that Stephen Foster handicap.
Yeah, 11 races, 5 are graded, and then the 2 winning you're in. So the card is spectacular tonight. And a lot of attention is going to be paid to the Stephen Foster and the Florida Lee, but the other graded stakes are sensational.
Absolutely they are. In fact, the Wise Dan, we've lured last year's champion Turf Mail world approval, who will try to get back on track after a visit to California that didn't turn out like, you know, trainer Mark Cassie would have liked. Going up against a horse like Divisadero, who's basically, you know, he's a 2-time Old Forester Turf Classic winner, basically unbeaten over the Churchill Downs turf course. That's a tremendous race. The Matt Wynn itself, you know, we have a rising star and Axeman for Bob Baffert. He was a very impressive winner, the Sir Barton at Pimlico. And then the regret, you have 13 3-year-old fillies going a mile and eighth. And I can't remember the last time odds maker Mike Battaglia made a tepid 5-1 favorite. That shows you how wide open the $100,000 grade 3 regret is, which goes as race 9.
Yeah, because Mike never met a favorite he didn't like, right?
You're right.
Well, we'll see if that race truly is that wide open. It appears to be on paper, but we'll see when they run it if it is. How about that Stephen Foster, though? You touched on some of the horses in there, Darren, and you know, Backyard Heaven for Chad Brown is kind of an emerging star, at least he appears to be. But this is a pretty well balanced field.
Yeah, it is, and it's a little bit of a fascinating tactical race as well. You know, Backyard Heaven, who only has 4 career starts as a 4-year-old, he's been sick off and on, but you know, 3 of those 4 starts, he's been spectacular, and he was just that on Kentucky Oaks Day while winning the Alice Sheba in impressive fashion. He kind of hooked last year's Derby winner Always Dreaming, took command, and then just drew away. He's going to show tactical speed. You have Irish War Cry for Graham Motion, who is such a puzzling type of a horse. I believe he's battled some electrolyte issues off and on, and Graham has thought that that's one of the reasons why he may throw in a subpar effort now and again. He brought him here to Louisville for the Stephen Foster because the race was being run, you know, this evening under the lights. Unfortunately, we're here in Kentucky. We have one of the most humid days of the year that we're going to have. Temperatures are going to be in the low 90s. It's probably going to feel like it's, you know, closer to the upper 90s. The good news is post time, you know, for the Foster is at 9:45 at night. The sun will have set, so it'll be a little cooler. but, you know, Irish War Cry is going to show speed. And I would not be surprised if one of the, you know, Todd Pletcher entrants, Uncle Mojo, is forwardly placed as well. So the question from a handicapping standpoint, does this set it up for someone that can run from off the back of the pack, maybe an Honorable Duty who was second last year, maybe a Hawakam who, you know, will jump up and run a big race when the race sets up for him. Very interesting from a tactical standpoint.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing is there's a lot of horses in this race that are fan favorites, like Patch. Yeah, you know, Patch has a legion of followers, and Irish War Cry does too. I'm sure there's people on the Backyard Heaven bandwagon since he won on Oaks Day. You know,
and looking at Lee. Big favorite with fans too.
Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of interest in this race. It's maybe not the strongest Stephen Foster ever, but certainly a lot of horses that fans can relate to, know about and follow. So that's really cool. Makes your job a little easier.
Yeah, it does. And it is interesting. You know, it isn't one of the strongest, but it is very competitive. And I think we've got some emerging, you know, like a Backyard Heaven, Irish War Cry. It's amazing. We do not have one grade one winner in this race. And I can't tell you the last time the Foster didn't attract, you know, a grade one winner. But make no doubt about it, we've got some very, very nice horses here. I can't believe Irish War Cry is not a grade one winner yet. I think Grand Motion probably feels the same way. I know he's really, really high on this colt and his talent and wants to have this horse showcased, knowing what he can do at the highest level, but again, he battles that, you know, kind of an electrolyte issue of dealing with this horse. So Graham said he's going to adjust the Lasix a little bit and hope for the best this evening.
Yeah, and you look back at the past 10 years or so, Darren, and the history of the Stephen Foster. And, of course, last year we saw Champion Gunrunner get the victory and then go on and take the Breeders' Cup. In 2013, you had Fort Larned. Then it was Ron the Greek before him and Blame and Macho again and Curlin in 2008. The horses that have won the Stephen Foster have done big things in the sport after their Stephen Foster victory. And we talked about Todd Pletcher. I was shocked as I was doing some research for the broadcast tonight to learn that Todd Pletcher has never won the Stephen Foster.
I can't believe it either. In fact, I wrote a little comment about that in our race preview, how he seeks his first, you know, Stephen Foster victory. And I couldn't believe that Todd has not won it before. He annually participates. I'm trying to recall off the top. I know he had Mission Impossible in 2011. I think in 2007 he was training Magna Graduate, if my memory is correct. Both of those horses were runners up, but Todd has annually participated in this event. But it's one of the few Grade One races around the country that he has not won.
He needs to point for it from now on.
That's right. Absolutely.
I'm sure Churchill will have no problem with that if Todd wants to point for this race every year.
Absolutely. No, he usually participates anyway.
All right, talk to me about the Fleur de Lis. We have a couple of minutes before we have to get to our final break, Darren. When and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Yeah, it is, and it's a competitive race. You know, you have the favorite for Wayne Catalano on the outside and Farrell. I'm kind of looking. I'm going to give you a horse, and in fact, it's the one horse that I'm very much looking forward to bet on tonight's card. It's Awestruck for Rusty Arnold. Irad Ortiz takes over for Brian Hernandez. You'll notice Brian is riding the 7 Valadorna. It might just be a case of the volume of horses that Mark Caffey has. That might be why Brian shows up there. But Awestruck, I think, is a very improving. She's going to have to get faster. She's going to have to continue to move forward. But her last two races, I love this progression. Coming back off the layoff at age 4, wins at Keeneland in convincing fashion, wins the one-turn mile the week after Derby here at Churchill Downs. This race is the right for the taking, I think, and it's not the toughest cast of fillies. We've seen stronger groups in the past, but I'm looking forward to Awestruck, the 6 horse, and if we can get 8-1 on the morning line, I'll be taking off the rubber band on the bankroll.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. When you you talk, people listen. So
yeah, well, I try. I mean, I like this. I like this horse. I mean, it's a good gambling opportunity in here. There's a number of horses they're gonna, you know, take some money. Blue Prize scares me. She's a very nice horse for Nacho Correas. It's a good race, but if the price is right, I think this is a good gamble on the six Ostrich.
All right, Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, a huge night at Churchill. Two winning your in races, five graded stakes. We'll be there with all the coverage beginning 8 o'clock Eastern time. You can visit our website for all the channel information and to listen worldwide. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. Darren, before we let you go, Ricky Fowler +2 in the U.S. Open. Can he catch him?
Yes, at +2, you're in the ballpark. You're in the ballpark. Over this course, you just want to be within, you know, within reach of Dustin Johnson. But I know my son Davis will be rooting for the man in orange.
That's why I ask. I knew he would be. Yeah. He'd have Davis in his corner.
Yeah, hey, real quick, for anybody coming out here to Churchill this evening, you know, the first race is at 6 o'clock. The admission gates will open at 5. Get here early because of the parade of Justify. It'll probably start, say, we're around 6:40-ish. He'll come over with the horses for the third. You want to get up close in the paddock, see the champion, Triple Crown winner, up close and in person. He'll be out there from about 6:40-ish to about 7:15. So another nice part of a tremendous evening. Look forward to seeing you guys out here.
Can't wait. Thanks for everything, Darren. We'll see you over there later.
All right, guys.
All right, Darren Rogers, Churchill Downs here on HRN. We're going to get to a break. We're back with more here on the Equine Forum, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
This three-time graded stakes-winning millionaire defeated 20 Grade 1 winners. In the Dixie Stakes, he defeated Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With The Birds and set a new course record at Saratoga. Runner-up in the Grade 1 Manhattan and Shadwell Turf Mile, Ironicus ran 7 triple-digit buyers, including this score in the Fort Marcy Stakes. Half to 4 graded stakes winners, Ironicus has the speed, class, and bloodlines to become the next great sire by Distorted Human. Ironicus at Clayton Farm.
Freak yeah, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, what if I just needed one sandwich delivered?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 100 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 24 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
67 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
You know, 67's a prime number.
Freak yeah, a whole number greater than one whose only factors are one in itself, I know.
Great. I'll take one Turkey Tom, please.
Freak yeah, one Turkey Tom, on the way.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Monomoy Girl, the Kentucky Oaks winner, has taken charge here. And she's pulling away in the acorn.
Performance.
And on the inside, Monomoy Girl, it's down to these two. And it's going to be Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old. Wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top 5 third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, 2018 marks another highly anticipated season for Woodbine. The highlight of the meet is the 159th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, slated for June 30th. It will be followed by the Woodbine Mile September 15th and the Canadian International on October 13th. All you have to do is visit woodbine.com for more information and follow them at WoodbineTV on Twitter. Busy show, JT.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah, just getting started. We're back tonight, 8 Eastern, with our coverage of the Stephen Foster, the Fleur de Lis. 2 hours, 8 to 10 Eastern time. Make sure you join us, SiriusXM 93, on our affiliates in Louisville and across the country. And, of course, streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Podcast of this show will be available for you on our website as well, so go back and listen at your leisure. Our thanks to Jimmy Barnes for joining us in the first half of the show, along with Tom Leach. Graham Motion was here as well, Dora Delgado from Breeders' Cup, and Darren Rogers from Churchill Downs. Off to Churchill, JT.
Yep, let's get ready. Take me to church.
Stephen Foster and I. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. with social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next week, and, well, we'll talk to you tonight. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.